Welcome to the podcast series of Middle East and Africa Textile Journal. Today, we're looking at a pretty major paradox. China is the world's biggest buyer of luxury goods, right? Yet they're largely ignoring one of the oldest, most prestigious luxury items on earth, which is the Persian carpet.
Yeah, it's a fascinating disconnect.
It really is. So our mission for you on this deep dive is to understand exactly why this legendary heritage product is struggling so much in the world's biggest consumer market and, you know, how it has to adapt. And this is all based on a really insightful analysis by Binam Ghassemi.
Right. And to really grasp the forces shaping these global markets, this analysis draws directly from the Middle East and Africa Textile Journal. You can actually find a lot more of these deep industry insights by visiting www.kohantextilejournal.com.
Definitely check that out. So we usually assume that when a market's wealth explodes, classic heritage items are just an easy sell. But China completely flips that assumption on its head.
It really does.
Yeah.
And it comes down to a fundamental cultural difference in how homes are actually lived in. Ghassemi describes modern Chinese living as a floorless lifestyle.
Wait, floorless? Like, they don't have floors?
No, not literally without floors. I mean, the cultural habit of sitting, eating, or, you know, socializing on the floor simply doesn't exist there the way it does in them in any region.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, life in a modern Chinese apartment center is entirely around elevated furniture. Because of that, carpets sit pretty much at the absolute bottom of the home decor hierarchy.
Okay, let's unpack this. It's almost like trying to sell a high-maintenance vintage sports car to someone who doesn't have a garage.
That's exactly it.
Like, the appreciation for the beauty is there, but the practical upkeep just completely outweighs the appeal.
Exactly, and the data backs that up. The primary barrier isn't a lack of artistic appreciation. It's the intense practicality of maintenance and, you know, professional cleaning.
The anxiety of ruining it, basically.
Right. The everyday stress of upkeep simply outweighs the prestige of ownership.
So because that maintenance is such a massive hurdle, I imagine competitors are just swooping in to offer something easier.
Oh, absolutely. They're aggressively stepping in. Manufacturers from India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Turkey are actively taking market share.
Wow.
Yeah. And they aren't just selling the same heavy rugs. They're offering minimalist alternatives, utilizing quicker machine tufting techniques or blending synthetics with wool. It lowers the price point and strips away those high stakes of ownership.
Wait, hold on. Doesn't true luxury usually mean an heirloom, like something you pass down to your kids? I'm surprised younger Chinese consumers are actively rejecting the generational aspect of the product.
Well, normally, yes. But if we look at modern interior trends in Chinese cities, these young professionals live very fast-paced lives in sleek apartments. To them, an intricate, heavy heirloom feels like a burden, not a flex.
Huh.
They actually lean toward disposable luxury, meaning beautiful pieces that can be easily swapped out as trends change, rather than a heavy anchor piece that dictates a room's aesthetic for the next 50 years.
Right. Okay, so if the traditional heirloom sales tactic is just dead, how do Persian carpets survive? They can't just keep pushing the centuries-old stuff.
Right, they can't. And Ghassemi outlines three vital strategic pivots. The first is modernizing the aesthetic while keeping the Persian soul.
What does that look like in practice?
It means harmonizing with those minimalist apartments, shifting to muted color palettes, simpler geometric patterns, but retaining the traditional hand-knotting techniques that give the rug its core value.
So you change the look, but preserve the actual craft. Right. Got it. What's the second pivot?
Second is authentic storytelling. Chinese luxury buyers don't just want a floor covering. They crave the narrative. Brands need to sell the philosophy, the regional origins of the wool, what the specific knots actually mean.
They want the lore.
Exactly. And the third pivot is combating non-professional traders.
Oh, you mean stopping amateurs from pushing poorly repaired rugs as masterpieces?
Yes, because that completely destroys consumer trust. We saw that exact mistake erode the European market, and they really cannot afford a repeat in China.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. And I should mention, tracking these exact real-time market pivots is why the Middle East and Africa Textile Journal is so essential. You can follow all of this unfolding live at www.kohantextilejournal.com. So putting it all together, what does the 2026 outlook look like?
The 2026 roadmap is conditionally positive, meaning the outlook is only good for brands that adopt a strong digital presence, absolute transparency, and that expert-led distribution we just talked about. Hmm. The era of traditional selling is just definitively over.
Wow. It really makes you think about the tension between preservation and evolution. And I actually want to leave you with a question to ponder. If modernizing the aesthetic of a centuries-old craft is the only way to save it, at what point does it become an entirely new product?
That is the ultimate tension of tradition.
It really is. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive, and a final big thank you to the Middle East and Africa Textile Journal for the research driving today's conversation. Keep questioning, keep learning, and we'll catch you next time.